It's that time of month we think about clean energy. We should think about clean energy more than once a month, shouldn't we, Katie?
I think so, yeah. Just think about it all the time.
I know. Katie Marquette from Rural Energy Alaska Project, or REAP, joins us this morning. And we'd like to spotlight REAP's clean energy farms that happen monthly.
Yeah.
And I was goofing off on vacation last month, so I missed it. So, but first of all, before we talk about what's happening tomorrow, there's some new digs for the forum.
Yeah, that's right. So starting last month, we moved the forum over to the LUSAC Library. And most of the forums are going to be in the Wilda Marson Theater. But when we were moving over, they had a few scheduling conflicts. So in order to keep it on the second Thursday of the month, this coming month and then next month is going to be in the Innovation Lab, which is on the fourth floor of the LUSAC Library, just another group setting area. So same location, just different room in the building.
Okay. 6:30 to 8:30, the Innovation Lab at LUSAC tomorrow. And here's the subject: geothermal energy for Nome, a project update on the Pilgrim Hot Springs resource evaluation. This is an ongoing project that's getting pretty darn interesting.
Yeah. So the Alaska Center for Energy and Power is a group affiliated with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And since 2010, they have been researching at Pilgrim Hot Springs to see what type of resource potential there is. And with geothermal power, geothermal energy is basically energy from the Earth's core. You're taking heat from the Earth's core and you're using it either for direct heat or to create electricity. And you can use lower temperature of geothermal heat for when you're using to make heat. But when it comes to making electricity, you need higher temperatures. And so sometimes it can be a little bit more difficult to find that perfect temperature. It's kind of finding the sweet spot. And so they drill. And so they're drilling out at Pilgrim Hot Springs looking for that perfect temperature to create the electricity. I'm not a scientist, but
that would surprise me because you're pretty brilliant when you talk about these things.
I like to think so. But So they've been researching out there for a couple of months or for a couple of years, and they were drilling last summer and they didn't find the temperature they need, but they're still drilling and they're going to continue drilling this summer. And so at this month's forum, the director of ASEP, Gwen Holdman, is going to be talking about their work, what they've done, what they're going to be doing this summer, and also explaining the economics of why delivering power, electricity from Pilgrim Hot Springs is economic and cost effective for the city of Nome.
How far is Pilgrim Hot Springs away from
That's
Nome?
A good question. I'm not really sure. I think it's like within 10-20 miles of the community.
It would seem like it would have to be fairly close.
Fairly close, yeah, to make it where the transmission is cost effective. They're about, oh gosh, I looked this up earlier. They're about 3,700 people, I believe, that live in Nome. So it's a fairly small community. If Pilgrim Hot Springs was developed, it would be about a 2-megawatt project. So to compare, you know, Fire Island here in Anchorage is a like 17-megawatt project. So it's a bit smaller, but for a community of that size, it would certainly help them in providing stably cost power.
Yeah, and it's certainly no secret on, you know, how astronomical the cost of energy sources is for folks in Nome, or really anywhere in the bush, but
yeah,
Nome's
anywhere.
Really got it tough.
You know, here in Anchorage, we're certainly spoiled with having fairly low-cost natural gas to power and to heat our homes. But, you know, folks forget that in rural Alaska, a lot of them are relying on diesel fuel, which is quite a bit more expensive, and the cost fluctuates quite a bit. So any time that you can bring in these renewable sources to kind of alleviate the pain that of paying for that high cost diesel fuel is great. And so Nome actually already has wind. They have a wind project there, and then hopefully they could have geothermal too.
Yeah. So get the cost down and diminish that carbon footprint, exactly. You know, all at the same time. 8:55, and it is Morning Line on KMBA. We're talking with Katie Marquette from Renewable Energy Alaska Project about this month's Clean Energy Forum, which happens tomorrow night, Geothermal Energy for Nome. You mentioned a concept that I think is really important in this discussion. Before we went on the air, you were telling me about capacity factor.
Right.
Go with that.
So basically what capacity factor means is that when a project has a size associated to it, this project is 2 megawatts. That basically means that the generator can produce up to 2 megawatts. But with many of these renewable sources, they're not churning 100% of the time. And so the easiest way to think about this is like the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. And so wind and solar are a little bit more intermittent. And so they have a lower capacity factor. And so normally with like wind, you're looking at a capacity factor around 30 to 40%. So that means that it's running at a like full 100% speed, 30 to 40% of the time. With geothermal power, the capacity factor tends to be a bit higher. It's like 60% or higher. And so what that means is that geothermal energy is a bit more reliable. It's and not that the other ones are unreliable. It's just they're more intermittent.
Much less volatility in the fluctuations
exactly. And so with geothermal power, you know, once you find that temperature, it's available and it's there forever. I mean, you know, the Earth's core isn't gonna like cool down.
Yeah.
So
I don't think we can screw that up as easily
up some other hopefully things. We'd be having some pretty big problems if we did.
So more stable, more dependable, less volatility in the fluctuations of capacity available. Is this and we only got a couple of minutes left, but I mean, is this sort of innovative on a national or an international level? Do we hope to learn some more and have a takeaway besides just, you know, making a groovy thing for Nome?
Certainly. I mean, there are other countries who are using geothermal power. In Iceland, they use, and that's one of their biggest source of power is geothermal. And so I think that the takeaway is, you know, this is a fairly reliable source of energy. It's just finding that right
the sweet spot, as I said, that
right temperature. And so that's where it's really dependent. You know, with Alaska, we have a lot of potential for geothermal, but the cost of transmission gets expensive. So, but we're getting there.
Okay. And you can find out a whole lot more tomorrow, 6:30 to 8:30, the Innovation Lab at the Lusac Library. Reap the rural Renewable Energy Alaska Project's monthly Clean Energy Forum. And, of course, you can always find out more at realaska.org.
Thank you very much.
Katie, thanks so much for joining us. And if you or your organization have information to share with our community, you can reach us by email. It's feedback@kmba.org. The fax is 793-3536, or you can stop on by and say hi. We're in the Natuch Nonprofit Center at 3600 San Geronimo Drive. Till tomorrow, have a great day. Be safe and hug the kids.